Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back here, friends. We're in the middle of our week doing the readings from the week after Easter. Again, I said that yesterday. It's kind of a tongue twister. So if you've been looking for the readings of the day and you've been going to this current week that we're in, the week of May 12th, you won't find them. But if you go back in your Magnificat to April, or go back on the USCCB website, or go in your Bibles when we say where we're going to be each day, you will find these readings. And again, like I've been saying the last couple of days, I really want to encourage you to listen to the first two episodes that we had this week, because really, we're talking about signs of resurrected life. This is why I wanted to go through these readings from Acts, because the church gives us, the week after Easter, a blueprint for what does the life of a believer look like after the resurrection. Signs of resurrected life. What are the things that we see in the lives of the apostles as they live from Pentecost on, proving that Jesus is alive? You know, Peter says one thing in one of the, he says many things, but one of the things he said that I'm thinking about in this moment from some of the readings that we read earlier this week from Acts chapter 2, from his speech at Pentecost, he says, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and to this we are all witnesses. And friends, this is the center as a church, as a believer in Jesus Christ, this is the center of our witness. Yes, we're witnesses of what Jesus has done in our lives. We're witnesses to what he's done in our families, but we're witnesses not in an eye-to-eye sense, but we're witnesses to his resurrection from the dead. What we have seen, what we have heard, we are witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ could not be held down by death. This is the reality. And so this is what we're exploring this week as we go through that week of readings, because it's all the book of Acts. It's all right after Pentecost, and the church here is instructing us. And it's good for us to listen and be empowered, but to take the instruction of the church. Because the church is saying, look at this. Look at how the body is called to live in resurrection power. What we're reading in Acts, we're astonished by. We're like, oh, amazing preaching by Peter. Oh, what we're going to read today, we're actually going to read a miracle by Peter and John. We're like, wow, this is amazing. Wow, look how they walk in unity. Wow, look how they love each other, all this kind of stuff. And we're astonished by it. And the church is saying, I'm giving this to you after Easter because this is normal Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Catholic? Somebody who believes in the resurrection of Jesus. At the center of it all is the resurrection of Jesus. And to say, this is how we are called to live if we live this way. And friends, it's so convicting, it's so powerful, and it's so good, and it checks me. Yesterday, we talked about, am I fruitful? Are people caught to the heart by my witness? Are people saying, what should I do? Am I inviting people to repentance and to receive the gift of faith? So today we're picking up. Yesterday we were in Acts chapter 2. Today we're in Acts chapter 3, starting at the beginning of the chapter. And so let's pray together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, in your life, you show us how to live. Not only do you show us how to live and walk on the earth, but you empower us through your resurrection power to live as a new church, to live as a new body, to live as new people. This is the center of it all, Jesus, who you are and what you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord, that you rose from the dead. We thank you for the witness of your apostles. And I just pray, Lord, that today, as we talk about this, that you would convict us, that you would show us what it means to live a resurrected life. We need to live a resurrected life. We desire to live a resurrected life. Come, Lord Jesus, and show us what it means to truly follow you through the witness of your apostles. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have here another reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And these readings, I'm telling you, friends, I've read these over and over and over again. I've read them over and over and over again since Easter, and they are absolute fire. And so we're going to get another absolute fire reading here today. We're going to be, again, if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 3, starting with verse 1. So Peter, right, the context is Peter has just given a huge speech. He's given not just a speech, he's proclaimed God's word. He's preached the word of God. And the response was, what do we do? And 3,000 are added to the church in one day. And now this is what happens next. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from all the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, look at us. He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk. Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leaped up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. The word of the Lord. And so here, Peter and John, they've just been baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? They've received the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The 11 are preaching in the streets. They're bringing people in. They're living in community with one another. And now we see in Acts chapter 3, I think this is so interesting because it says Peter and John, they're walking together to the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. So they're going to the synagogue, right? So all of this has happened to them. Jesus has died. He's risen from the dead. And they're still going to 3 o'clock prayer. I love this. They're still doing what Jesus taught them to do. They're saying, we need to go pray. We need to go to the synagogue. We need to, maybe they're going to convert more people to say, we need to go tell more Jews about Jesus, that he's risen from the dead. Maybe there's more people there that didn't know. And a man crippled from birth, this is so amazing, friends, comes to Peter and John begging for alms. And I wonder if Peter checked his pockets and said, I don't have anything. I would bet to say that Peter looked at him in that moment. He had an inspiration from the Spirit. And he said, look at us. He says, look at us. And this is what's so amazing. He says, look at us. He says, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. Rise and walk. Then Peter, he takes the guy's hand. He raises him up, and this guy's ankles and legs are strengthened. And this man who could not walk, walks. And I think we read stories like this so many times that we're like, oh my gosh, like, we're like, yeah, I know this story, right? I know, he walks. Cool, that's great. He walks. And it's not Jesus. I mean, it is Jesus through Peter and John, but it's Peter and John who are doing the miracle, and Jesus is working through them. And I want you to think back to the time where Jesus sends out the 72. He sends them out two by two, and most of them come back without success, right? They say, we tried to cast out demons in your name. It didn't work. You said we would do greater things than these, all the stuff. It didn't work, but here they are. After the resurrection, remember what we said before. Fruitfulness is a sign of resurrected life. Healing is a sign of resurrected life. Doing greater works than these is a sign of resurrected life. And there's something in me that thinks, did Peter look at that man and he was like, all right, here goes nothing. I'm going to try this and see if it works. I'm stepping out on the ledge. Like, what if this doesn't work? And there's probably a human part of him that definitely was thinking that. That definitely was like, wow, this is, you know, like, maybe this isn't going to work, but I'm going to try it. But also, as I was just reading this time, I've read this before, but as I was reading this out loud this time, what came to me was this thing of they're living in the reality of the man that they loved, that was revealed to be the only Son of God, that they walked with, that they talked with. They saw him crucified and brutally killed, and then they saw him alive. And so there's a way in which their humanity might come in and say, like, whoa, is this healing really going to work? But I would venture to say that in that moment, the surge of the Spirit came into Peter. And as he looked at this man, what was pushing Peter out, what was moving Peter out to say, I'm going to see if this miracle can happen, is to say the basis of this is my God rose from the dead. He's living and walking in a life where he says, I preached a message, 3,000 came to faith. I'm witnessing to the fact that my God was dead and he now is alive. I'm living a resurrected life. And so why would I think that strengthening the ankles of a lame man would be too hard for my God? A sign of resurrected life is not perfect faith, friends, but it's resurrected faith. Resurrection faith says, my God defeated death. He went in the grave and he came out 3 days later on the other side. And I would imagine Peter and John are walking and they're doing ministry and they're going to prayer and they're living in communion and they're probably still disoriented at what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them. But as Peter said in the chapter before, Jesus Christ rose from the dead and we are all witnesses to this. And so as he's walking on the street, somebody asks for help, and his first instinct is to say, my God rose from the dead, so I have supernatural help for you. I have not just silver, not just gold, but I have a new way of life for you. And I love this so much, friends. I love this so much. When the man is healed, he says he went into the temple walking and jumping and praising God. It says, when all the people saw him walking and jumping and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. I love this so much. Why do I love it? Because every time Jesus healed someone, think of the blind man. He's healed and he goes back into the temple. And everybody says, weren't you the one that was blind? Weren't you the one that had leprosy? Weren't you the one who was this way? Weren't you the one who couldn't see? And we all experienced Jesus doing that for us in our own lives. Weren't you the one who was broken? Weren't you the one who was angry? Weren't you the one who was far from God? Whatever it is. But we see this pattern with Jesus. He heals and then people see the person. They're like, aren't you that one that was blind? And he says, yeah, but I'm not anymore. And then they're filled with amazement and astonishment. What I love so much about this is we now see that pattern with Peter and John. When they were walking with Jesus, they tried to cast out demons on their own and they couldn't do it. But now that Jesus has died, risen from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father and sent the Holy Spirit, now Peter and John are able to follow the pattern of Jesus. Because when we have resurrected life, when we have resurrected life in us, friends, when we're living in the power of the resurrection, the pattern of our life begins to follow the pattern of Jesus. And now people encounter Jesus in us. When they look at us, we may be able to see through the power of the resurrection what they really need. And we say, I can't give you gold or silver, but I can give you through the power of Jesus, resurrected life. Stand up and walk. And then this pattern begins. And when Jesus healed people, they were amazed and astonished. And people say, weren't you the one? And now when people come in contact with us and they leave our presence and they leave seeing Jesus in us, they go out to the rest of the world and people see them. And because they've been with us who have been with Jesus, they can be changed. And they say, weren't you the one? They say, yeah, but I met Jesus through Rachel. But I met Jesus through that Christian. This is amazing stuff, friends. Join us again tomorrow as we pick back up here.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.